Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. It's 6:14.
Okay, you might be on.
We've all got one with us. I pledge allegiance to the flag of America, to the Republic of Liberty, standing for nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. Now you have been sworn in. I've read your statements. Sorry. All right. Public comment. Well, I didn't see any public comment. And since you're not chiming in, you didn't see any either. So we'll continue on. Minutes of the previous meeting. We are looking at November 19th and the January 21st meeting minutes. They went out to you yesterday. Nothing terribly wrong with them. I made like two adjustments. I would love
One adjustment, I made all of this.
it. Yeah, I wouldn't even call them corrections. I would love a motion to set up the minutes as presented.
And we'll be accepting them.
Second.
Thank you. Ordered and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All in favor? Any opposed? So approved. My agenda is right there and I can't read it. I'm working off the last one. Building level update.
You're up. We're up.
Yeah. Simply put.
I gotta stop my shit. All right, now you can shoot.
These are the microphones. We can hear you.
Pull up a chair if you don't mind.
Well, by all means.
I just, when we have people, they can't hear us as well. Hope everyone's doing well. All right. I will start with the K through five schools. So to start, our middle of the year testing is just about completed. We are using the data to adjust instructional groups, and teachers are using it to adjust their mid-year goals for the year. We are also using that data to plan our win groups, which is what I need intervention. We are also planning for the Greek Independence Day celebrations, which is next month on March 25th. The lower school is working on a major PBIS alignment with their core team. They are launching student-led conferences for the first time this spring, and third grade in Building 26 is working on SPAC for the first time in that building.
What's PBIS?
It's our behavior intervention.
Okay.
Positive. Yep. So,
rewarding. Got it. Okay, thanks.
For Immersion, our middle of the year testing is in progress with a two-week completion goal. They launched a new literacy initiative at the end of January. Strong parent involvement planned by Ms. Davis. I just delivered a few things to her yesterday. And they are exploring a partnership with the University of Delaware for a 3 through 5 science initiative next year when we have K through 5 in Immersion. The intermediate school, they are finishing their iReady middle of the year testing as well. DESA social studies testing is wrapping up this week, and we are prepping for pre-unite, which is Thursday, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. For behavior and culture, this week is kindness week for across all schools, so we've had some events happening in all of the buildings. BELO award ceremonies were also scheduled over the past 2 weeks. Some of you have had the opportunity to attend. It was great to see you there. The intermediate schools planning their positive behavior field trip, which they're looking to take their students to main event. And all K through five administration has sent renewal probation letters for students not meeting expectations for academic behavior and attendance. We have some other events coming up. The 100th Day Celebration will be taking place for immersion on February 13th and for lower school on February 25th. The PhilO Awards we already discussed. I think our next one for the lower school is March 6th, but intermediate was on the 13th and immersion was yesterday on the 17th. Kindergarten immersion is also taking a trip to the Art Museum, and that is February 25th through the 26th. For the middle school, it's testing season, so a lot of testing updates. Winter iReady diagnostics are just about complete, and we are meeting with our teachers and PLCs to adjust instruction just ahead of state testing. We also completed Advent testing for our immersion students. Dr. Okafu will speak about that a little bit later. Our 6th through 8th grade students completed DESA social studies testing, and we focused on academic achievement in quarter 2 for their marking period grades. 14 students earned 4.0 GPAs, and 112 students earned a GPA of 3.75 to 3.99. We are looking at different math programs for next year, especially K through 12, but specifically looking at 6 through 12, and we're looking at amplified math for potential adoption. We have two teachers in the middle school right now piloting some of those units to see if it's something we would be interested in. For athletics, we have spring sport registration underway. Tryouts are beginning soon. And our second quarter awards and assemblies for the middle school will be on February 20th.
So our women's basketball team is
15-4
this year.
16-4. That's the high school update. I'm not there yet, but yes.
15-4 this year. They will make the tournament. And for us, tomorrow is the watch party to see what ranking they're going to be in the playoffs. Fingers crossed we're going to be hosting the first ever playoff home game.
Very cool.
Which is exciting.
That is.
Yeah. So to kind of start with our high school events, women's varsity basketball, 16-4, which is the best in school history, the best record we've had, which is excellent. We have the Lifers Brunch. If you guys don't know what the Lifers Brunch is, it's where we have students who have been at Odyssey since kindergarten, and we celebrate with a luncheon with them. So that is scheduled for next week. They're also looking at a PBIS main event trip. It's a big hit, and some of the students can't vote, so everyone's looking to go there. And they recently just had a Black History Month pep rally celebration, which went very well, and we received lots of videos and pictures from that event. For academics for the high school, over 80 students were at the second marking period Trident Awards. The Trident Awards honor GPA honors, high honors, attendance, and behavior. As of right now, we have been awarded the College Board Platinum status for college optimization, which is an award reflecting strong AP participation and performance. As of right now, we are offering 23 AP and dual enrollment courses in the high school. Scheduling season is coming up. We're looking to finalize our course catalog and get that out to students next month. That is it for building level updates. Jump down to curriculum and instruction. We've been working with all leadership for planning for next school year. So we did the first round with principals on Monday, January 26th, which was actually online because it was a day. And we had everybody share out their plans for next year. The second round was with operations on Wednesday, February 4th. And then we are getting the whole group together and have like different breakout sessions, and that's going to be on February 25th, that's next Wednesday. Our next PD day is Friday, March 20th, which is CharterCon. We're going to have some teachers here, and some teachers are going to be going to Delaware State University. This year, we have three presenters from Odyssey at CharterCon, which include Dr. Alexandra Milonis, Marielle Dean McAuley, and Brittany Henning. For assessment, a big thing that we are hosting NAEP testing this year. So if you don't know what NAEP testing is, it's a national test that you are selected for every 2 years, and it happens in fourth grade and eighth grade. Our eighth graders are taking it tomorrow, on February 19th, and our fourth graders are taking it March 4th. So we set up the testing sessions, and then the NAEP testers come in and administer the test to the students. So that is happening tomorrow for our eighth graders. We had DOE in last week on Wednesday, January 28th for the state visit. They audit our testing, they interview teachers, students, and check out our testing site, see if we're doing everything correctly. And I would like to say it went very well. They observed access testing in grades K through 8, and they had a chance to interview 5 staff members and 8 students. ML testing, we had a little bit of delay with testing recently just because of the snow with that week. So access testing usually takes place at the end of January through the whole month of February. We had extended a little bit into March this year, but we should be finishing the first week of March. And for instruction, we are doing lots of things, but we are looking to schedule our next ELT administrative walkthrough next month in March. And we are finalizing our second round of DTGSS observations by March 31st. But it is middle of the year testing season, so we are focusing a lot right now on middle of the year testing and analyzing those results and PLCs. I'm going to pass it next to Josh.
For transportation, quick thing, the department's working to recruit additional drivers for redundancy. It's not a vacant job position open, and we have buses that need to be used, so we're going to recruit. And our 4 additional buses just arrived from Wilmington. And this road, our total bus count for 3 is now 30. We're ready to move.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a transportation-related question. Is there anything that is, you know, personal experience, because I know some other parents have as well, anything that's going to be done about the getting in front of the lower school during drop-off time? The spaces in front of the school are commonly used as a lane for picking up the lower school walkers as well as lower school children. That lane is routinely blocked by folks parking in it, and that just makes a bit of a some difficulty with already a lengthy process becoming a bit more challenging. The snow doesn't help when there's no place to put it and you end up losing parking spots, but I'm also curious when spring sport come up and you're going to have visiting teams coming and trying to find a place to park, only to find that they are parked in by school pickup.
So
what's the plan?
There are parking signs that have been given between the drop-off and
the
time.
Okay.
So
one other semi-snow related question has nothing to do with the fact that my wife broke her ankle. How do we handle handicap accessible spots, ramps, and snow clearing, and making sure that those, you know, that we're ADA compliant all the time? Okay. Thanks.
Can you refer to campus or the bus?
Oh, on campus.
Campus?
Yeah.
All the areas are cleared out that are necessary for there to be ADA. I had heard something specific about Building 27, the back side, but you can do it in the front through a ramp, go right through the middle of the building. But it's still an ADA compliant. And so the back side is not available because it's still a
okay.
So we always make sure that there's ADA compliance available. It may not be all of our access, but it's Joel mentioned there's going
to
be
no place to put this now.
But we prioritize the space to create these spaces first. And it's very time consuming and costly. We have expensive ways over here to get it cleared out.
Yeah.
But it is always a consideration that we have to stay put at some point.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Davis is on the call, but she said she could help answer that question as well.
Hi, Mr. Ford, are you I couldn't hear you terribly well. I think you were referring to that kind of third lane that we try to open up for car rider pickup. I recognize that there's some struggle with that, some challenges with the parking, people parking in those spots. We do a bit on the building end. So we did we've put out maps. We do communicate to anybody who we see parked there. If we can find the car, we do an all call usually to move cars from those spots. We have ordered some signs as well, and they needed a little bit of updating, but we were going to put some signs on the there's some posts out there by those parking spots, but there is not one per spot. So there'll be some signage, but if you're parked in between, you'll kind of have to be aware. We definitely make announcements. We tell anybody a sub, anybody who's coming in for the day that they need to move. But mysteriously, there are almost always some cars there. We've thought through a couple around either putting some writing on the ground, some kind of like using some kind of gate at a certain time to block people from coming in. But yeah, there we do try to message it out. We are always able to work around it as much as possible. I think that we can we would gain a little bit of space if those cars were not there, but typically a couple cars toward that overpass area only reduce the size of that third lane a little bit. And in the end, that lane cannot kind of exit independently. It does have to weave into the other lane. So, we put some effort into it, but I think that
This
the
meeting
outcome
is
in the end
being
is
recorded. Being recorded. Being
I
recorded.
think the outcome in the end
Yeah.
is minimal. There's always just a little bit of additional time spent, I think, in that car line beyond the typical time we've allotted for it, because so many students are dismissing from our building, from the two buildings at the end of the day. But anywhere we can get the message out, we can post it on Facebook as well. I can put out new maps as well, again, if that would be helpful. And then, yeah, those all calls. If you're in our building and you hear an all call about moving cars, please do move your cars to the side that is not facing the building. That would be very helpful.
All right. Thank you.
We're
Sorry, I hear myself. I think you're up. Actually, I'll continue. I have an update from special education from Sun. She is going to be hosting a PD here on campus on March 20th with the entire spec ed department. So while some of us will be going to CharterCon, she will be hosting a session here with the University of Delaware. And right now she is focusing for the month of February with her special education team, implementing specially designed instruction and the selection and use of evidence-based and/or research-based special education practices. I know that the teachers are looking forward to that training in March, knowing it's specifically for the spec ed teachers. Some other thing that she is working on with the behavior specialist, she is working on resilience education programs where they are looking at cognitive behavioral small group instruction, a check-in and check-out small group intervention, and how to support families with students who have supporting children's emotions and behaviors at home. As for her special education coordinators, they are looking at the DESA-ALT decision making on whether students are receiving the DESA-ALT assessment instead of the SDOC assessment, like the regular standard one. They are using an AIM program, which is to access instructional materials. And for special education teachers, they are doing their IEP progress. So some good things happening in our special education world. I know that they are spending a lot of time in PLCs focusing on best practices for students. I'm going to switch it to Dean now. I don't know if you want the hot seat or get them to stand there.
No, I can do
Okay.
it. I can't see the screen. So. So we're preparing for second floor immersion building. We're going to be running a lot of cable. We're going to be hanging a lot of cameras, a lot of access points, trying to do it all in-house, keep it as cheap as possible for the
school. The work we're probably going to do is probably going to save the school about $40,000 by doing it all ourselves.
Yeah.
We have started to install the huddle game cameras so that the basketball games are now being broadcast from the Grail. The camera for the soccer field is installed, but not active. We're waiting for the snow to kind of stop before we make all the connections. And we're going to need to do some work to try to figure out how to mount baseball field cameras. If there's nothing to like camera on, like in the text, we might have to like pull across the backstop at the right height, run cable, take a little bit underneath, cable plug in. So that's all coming up in the next month or two. We have rolled forward all the students into the next year's into the campus program. So the student population, now the kindergartner is being registered and students being registered. Those will be the calendars that will run in the campus. Well completed. We were working on testing. Actually, we have completed the front door intercom system. It's a new intercom based off of the camera system that we're using down in Building 27 that allows us to remote answer and open a door. The front doors in Building 27, the two security ones, had a video camera that places a call to a cell phone or a computer desktop or a tablet. They can buzz the person into the first door, buzz the person into the second door. We can send a guest pass to somebody, so a plumber has to get in there at Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. Nobody needs to report down there. We can just text them a code and they can let themselves into the front door and everything. And the pass is expired, so we can set like a 1 week period, 1 hour period. Even substitutes, we don't have to try to issue cards for short term substitutes. We can just give them a pass for the if they're working for us.
Nice.
So we're going to be looking at trying to expand that to the rest of the buildings with some of the security funds that we have available. We have 13 VR headsets that were purchased last year. We're getting them online, working with the state of Delaware to get them working on our Wi-Fi. The firewall ports aren't open. We're a couple steps close. We'll get into the meeting before 8 o'clock in the morning, so hopefully we'll have a third event using the Wi-Fi. The VR goggles in his costume. And we purchased approximately 300 used Lenovo Chromebook to supplement school supply because it was tight with testing and trying to move equipment around and everything. So we found them online at eBay for $39 a piece or Amazon for $60 a piece. We need to buy some more licenses because we're out of licenses, but that helps fill the gaps where we need for the rest of this academic year. And hopefully next year we'll get back on track and refreshing the fleet so we can get back into having some newer equipment. Moving forward. And that's all for IT. And I'll work on the camera.
Renee, do you have any updates?
Just a reminder that the change in provisions that were required by the state and the immigration policy and support. Obviously, a terrible set when we're asking for money to get into the government.
We were actually at the Delaware Principal Pipeline Leadership PLC today down in Dover with a few other districts across the state. And we are going to be providing training for administration between Friday, March 6th and June 17th. And we're going to be looking at instructional leadership, teacher evaluation, having difficult conversations, and PSEL training for elementary and secondary. And PSEL standards are the standards for which all leadership use for their job. So it's similar to like state standards for students. We have standards for leadership. So we're going to do a deep dive into them. And then we are also providing training for our teachers who are interested in becoming leaders. So anytime that we would have an opportunity, we would like to try to promote within. So we're offering three sessions after school on March 5th, April 27th, and May 20th. And they received an interest service today. And those sessions are around leadership styles, building a positive climate, and leading people. So the interest survey should be finished by Friday, and we're excited to see who is interested. piggyback to you, Renee.
Excellent. Very exciting.
Yeah, keep going. For facilities, Tyler has his update. They're preparing for their construction on the second floor of building 20 to expand two new classrooms. We're going to be adding two biomedical science classrooms up in 20, which is super exciting. I think they're looking to start in March because we do have access testing taking place in here. But the two classrooms are over here to my left. And they're working on hiring three more custodians and one additional facilities member to fulfill their staffing needs. And I know that those interviews were taking place.
So one question, you say biomedical?
Biomedical. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a high school course. We're going to have two nice big classes. We have four classrooms there right now. We're going to combine them. Similar to our labs in the high school.
It just have been chosen. We're going to do
that. So we do have a biomedical science teacher. I know that we're looking to expand the program, so we'll be adding her. Knowing that content is the priority.
All right. Okay. Before we finish with facilities, how are we doing with roof leaks after the snow melt and snow apocalypse?
Not as bad as I would have thought we were doing. That's
you know that.
Okay. So if anybody online has $250,000 for a new roof, that would be appreciated. We could use a bunch. So until then, it's patching and replacing tiles and painting.
Where is that from? Is it puddling on the roof, or is there some unit that's leaking?
Well, it's also just the sustained amount of time that you have to put on the roof. It's just pressure.
Is there another solution they could use so that it doesn't continue to happen? Or
the only thing that we can do is be reactive to it. Unless you rip out the whole roof and replace it, you can only react to leaks that you do. Fortunately, they're kind of centralized. They're in specific locations, so that once you reinforce those, you should be able to get coverage for a while. We've been using that approach for quite some time. It's obviously saving us hundreds of thousands of dollars doing it. The roofs we're able to get up to five more years to use that.
Like just siliconing the faucet better.
Siliconing or parring.
Parring.
Yeah. It's done enough to get by us at least five more years. Ultimately, my position is the more we get out of them, the better.
Is there gravel on the roof? Is it one of those roofs?
Some of them have a little gravel in them, but most of them, the biggest problem is that they're kind of flat.
Hmm.
So they're not pitched well.
Right.
That's a flaw of the building itself.
And it's a membrane from the 1980s.
They should be at least slightly pitched. So they're really good at it.
They hold up better than parachute pants, but not much. I know it's an uphill battle. But...
Yes, I'd like to go back to the biomedical school. I don't know, it's something I want you to. How about chemistry? How is because the system becomes requires chemistry? How is the scale of chemistry teaching here? I'm done. Yeah, because I had the same issue with the Charter School of Williamson with my children. But they thought, biology, then chemistry, and it was a kind of meetup. I had to go with chemistry. And then biology.
Yeah, those other charter schools. That's your problem.
But we have chemistry here. No, that's one of the connected to
biology.
Yeah. I know that the bio, anyway, that's my injection.
Biomedical is
yes, I know, I'm aware of it. I don't say I'm not aware of it, but I say whatever we do, when you do bio, you need chemistry. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, for food service. Food service conducted a comprehensive staff survey to assess demand for on-site breakfast and lunch meal options for the staff. They're looking at offering a coffee bar, fruit options, and coffee slushies. So I know that Evie is working to expand the meals for staff on site. That's all I have for her. Jackie,
what? Do you want to sit here or do you want to sit there?
I will forget.
Okay.
So to start, we are going to look at the different events. We hosted Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Eye Fester on January 23rd. We specifically came to visit our food studies and green initiatives and but took away a lot more than, which was really great. It was a beautiful conversation with a lot of different students, which was really great to let them showcase what we were doing. We had great participation and representation at Green Heritage Night with the 76ers on January 27th. So thank you to everyone who performed, who attended, who donated. It was greatly appreciated. It was a very fun event. We had a prime time performance of three dancers. We had a halftime concert performance of rock band. We had great opportunities for students to go and be with the players on court during the national anthem. And we're able to high-five students, or excuse me, the students were able to high-five the players as they were coming off. So very exciting. People were really jazzed up about being there, basketball lovers and not. So that's cool. The next thing that we are looking towards is preview night. You have heard it a couple times already today because it is one of our great recruitment events for the school, both in student count and in staff. So it is both the showcase of what we are doing on campus, and it's a great opportunity for people that are a part of the organization and looking to be a part of the organization. So we want students that are in the younger grades coming to visit to showcase what they're doing in their classes, but then what they're doing in the upper grade school to see their trajectory of what opportunities they could get in the next building or in the next grade band. It is a wonderful opportunity for our families that haven't become a part of our community yet to really engage with lots of different aspects to see what it would mean for them to be an Odyssey app. So we are continuing to promote that and are excited for that to happen next week. In conjunction with that class, Renee has already spoken about it, but our employment fair, so we always have, right, we get to, but this is our third annual recruitment fair, being able to attract and then have an opportunity for them to then walk around and see it in action. It's a really great opportunity for anyone interested in becoming staff member through operations, through HR, through finance, through teaching, administration. We are really have a panel of candidates that will sit with different members of the Odyssey team across different departments to really vet who they are, what their likeness is, and how they would best fit into our organization. On March 24th, we are going to be celebrating Greek Independence Day a day early at the plaza with a flag raising ceremony. So we will be having middle school students in attendance, staff, administration, and different elected officials of that important ceremony. We are hosting our gala April 25th. We will host our Philadelphia Greek Parade on April 26th and being a part of that as always. And we have our the annual ball outing on June 15th. So lots is coming down the pipe we are eager about. In terms of our grants, we have had a lot of reporting and support with monitoring throughout. So we took part in training supporting our work with the fourth cohort of teacher residents. So we had students being a part of that and looking at what that looks like and how we are using our funds to support them. I presented an SUI grant, and that is how we are using secondary funds for substance abuse prevention. So I reported on what that looks like in our middle school and high school, interventions we use and data-related steps. We hosted and participated in the Newcastle County Grow Your Own speaker programming. So we got to hear from all the different cohorts throughout the state or throughout Newcastle County that are using this and problem solving and problems across this together. So that was a positive event. Again, having lots of people on campus from across Newcastle County engaging in that conversation. We had the CIA team attend the Bridge to Practice Professional Learning. So that was related to our funding for early literacy. We were awarded one of those grants as a part of the state initiative focusing and honoring our literacy focus. Juliana spoke to it. Renee also spoke to it about the training we had in Dover today related to the principal pipeline project and relating to supporting aspiring and current leaders. We also applied for the CSGF, so the Growth Fund grant and the Excellence grant. In terms of enrollment, our August lottery has occurred and families have been notified of their status. Families are given until March 20th to accept their enrollment, and that is a state mandate. So they were notified before the required date of February 28th, and they have until the 20th of March to make that decision. I am very excited to say that over 200%, we are at over 200% of acceptance compared to where we were at last year. So we are on track and ahead of the game for what we are looking for, which is we are continuing our testimonial campaign. So what we are doing is we are taking stakeholders throughout the organization and really amplifying what they love about Odyssey. And that is going to be launched at our preview night and then used for further marketing. We will continue to upgrade our website. So we are partnering with a company to rebrand and revamp Odyssey website. For athletics, it again was kind of highlighted already in a couple different spaces, but we are very excited for our women's varsity basketball team with a 16-4 record. I think it just needs to be highlighted again. They are doing an outstanding job. They are, like you said, positioned for a tournament seat. So we are eager to celebrate them and their continued success. For wrestling, also highlights. High school level, we had a ninth grade female placed fourth in an independent qualifier. And we had middle school students in the middle school team, one as a state champion, two runners up, a third and a fourth place. Congratulations to all of our teams. As we are looking forward to spring, we are going to offer girls soccer, track and field, softball, baseball, and boys volleyball. We currently have 182 middle school students trying out for these sports and 118 high school students trying out. So really great showing, and we are eager to have strong teams for our spring season. You guys approved the baseball team to travel in March for spring training and getting an opportunity to get really valuable competitive time. So they're excited about that. And we are going to host our first ever April tournament called the Cardinals Cup, and that's going to be on our field on April 24th and 25th. And we will have the huddle access and up and running to really engage with our baseball team. So we're excited to have that tournament on the book and host for everybody. Track and field will participate in the Penn Relay. That's the first time in our school history as well. We're excited for our track and field runners and other. We are excited to continue to host GIAA state tournaments. So we were able to host them in the fall with our new facility, and we're excited to be able to continue that in the spring season as well. And just a note is our athletic trainer is going out on maternity leave, and so we will have Ms. Pearson Mercado filling in as the athletic trainer. And her hours are this Monday to Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. From the PCO, Holiday Shop was a great success. The OCS Mom and Dad Speaker and Mug were the top sellers of the event. So kind of success that they're going to continue to have that as an ongoing available store purchase inside the store. And the store will be open during Christmas, so they are hosted in 2020. Come by and support them. And his and her bingo will be held on March 7th at 5 p.m. at the Holy Trinity Church. So proceeds will benefit Hockey.
Okay.
Thank you.
Reunited when?
Next Thursday. I highly recommend that if you have not attended before, or if you'd like to attend, that we'd love to see you there. It is a huge, huge event. Our big, I will say it is our biggest event of the year.
That's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful things to learn about clothing.
Evan is out of town right now, but for the safety and security update, he said that they are evaluating new safety door closure devices to use during lockdown procedures, and he is working with Deborah and DOE to determine whether he can secure funding for a second constable. So we would have a dedicated constable for 6 through 12 and then for K through 5 for next year. I'm going to have you want to go after board approval. I do not have any out-of-state travel. We approved a lot of things last month, so I've removed everything from there. We are working on the calendar for next year, just as an update for everyone here. I will have a final draft for you to look at probably by the end of next week. I'll send that to you to look at, and then I'll look for approval. And then once that's approved, and we submit it to the state, once we get the okay from the state, we can share it with families. But usually we're able to share at least like the first day of school with everybody, so we'll have that available at the March meeting. I know that human resources needed an immigration policy and a TPL policy revision.
Yeah. And I think we've all had a chance to read them, look them over. They were relatively boilerplate, protecting both the students, the faculty, and the staff here, both for their leave and their immigration status. So anybody have any questions about them?
The only question I have about is, reading the fine, every car is covered. What's going to happen if there, or one day somebody's crazy shows up in the school? How the school has to react?
So two different things. So if it's a general crazy person, the school goes into lockdown. They've all had the training.
Yeah.
It has a girl's name. What is it? Okay. They've done Alice training, and all the doors are secure and shattered.
I'm talking about not a crazy, but nice.
Now, if the other crazy people show up with the masks and stuff, they'll be greeted with exactly the same welcome. The doors are secure. They can't come in. They're not going to come in unless they have an official judge-issued warrant that's both specific. It'll be handled by
the proper authorities. So we have this situation here.
And if they have to talk to him, he will leave the building to go out and speak with them, and they won't come in unless
no release of records.
Yep.
When are you communicating the policy to parents and families? Okay.
I'm most familiar with the policy.
We'll give Monica a second. any discussion? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion so passed. Approved. You know what I mean. Thank you.
So, Ilya, you're going to be the buffer zone if anything happens, okay? Okay.
Use the velvet hammer that will stop the defense. Someone has to.
Before we move on, I want to talk about this important another matter that is developing over time in Delaware, and that's you are aware at all about the water readiness program. An attempt to go back to unifying the district in northern Newcastle County into one major district. So you would have Christina, Brett Clay, Brandywine,
Colonial of the Columbia District. The consortium was looking at that as a way of creating more equity and funding across lower income areas that are served. And so there was some concern about what impact that would have on the charter school. So I wanted to make it clear that there is no direct impact on charter schools at this time. There is indirect impact. You are going to be pulling students from a potentially different district as a result of it. From our position at the charter school, and I believe all of you as board members and all of us that are in the community, we believe that educational choice and educational freedom is a necessity for students to be able to get what they need when they need it. So at every turn, we will always be advocating for educational freedom and educational choice. That is our position at the Charter Network's position as well. And we constantly remind them of that. But our charters are exempt from membership movement. That said, it has a lot of steam. It was voted in 19th to move to General Assembly. So there's a lot of steam behind this. I will say, and I'm not from Delaware, but having studied it, this was something that was the case before. And they moved away from it and decentralized it, and now they want to go back and re-centralize it again. Because in the for educational equity, on my own judgment on that, I'm just letting you know where it is, and that as a charter school, we're always looking to promote educational choice. Parents should be able to decide where they're going. That you on where it is right now, it's on the General Assembly, but it doesn't really have an impact on it. I am part of a study group that will respond if there is something to respond to.
And the Charter School Network is keeping a close eye on it as well. We have a phone call every other week with the head of the board chairs and the Charter School Network, and it's come up every meeting. We just want to make sure that they don't try anything funny, for lack of a better term, because we really just want an equitable education options for everybody, and choice is a significant part of that.
Right. We start for the control of the community from the world and then to design that fit the students. I would like to give a little bit two more numbers of the numbers that I gave during the event. Okay, so 50 students, 31 from immersion. And immersion, we have only three grade levels that take a number, so 5, 6, and 7 last year. And from this group, we have 31 students. And 19 plus 12 was language students, which means from 5th up to high school, which will be different levels of exam. And we are very proud because we increased our number of students to pass the exam.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had 48 of 7, and this year we have 50. And also this year we increased the number of students who took the more advanced classes. The reason is because immersion grows, so we have immersion students who take more advanced levels. We had 7A2 students for the immersion, and 1 from the immersion, and we had 6B1 from immersion, and 2B1 from non-immersion. We had 2B2 from the non-immersion, and then 1C1. So we're very proud of both quantity and quality also. So it's becoming better and better. The National Greek Language Day, we celebrated, it was February 9th, we celebrated Friday the 6th. We celebrated every year, but this year was very special because it was the first year that it was official. The day was a from the school year, so it was being celebrated, but now it's more becoming globally recognized. Like, we have that student, all of students, K-12, engaged in learning the classroom with the system of the newsletter with pictures and information by several groups, K-12. Testing, the testing up. So we had for emergent middle school, we have the advanced test, which is the same thing for this switch. I had already our 8th graders, they took the test last week, and our 6th and 7th graders took the test. All of it, the last of February. And all groups are tested in two skills. So it's the production of language, which I can tell you is the more challenging. The other skills are the comprehension. In comprehension, they are doing better because they understand easier and better. But they are tested in production of language. So production of oral language, production of written language. They do very well, so they are getting ready now, our youngest program. We are working with ethnographic languages every meeting, every board meeting. We are working close now with the high school administration to add new courses to the high school of Catalan. We want to enrich the Hellenic style pathway with new courses. As we have emerging next year, there is a high school. We will add more courses, dual enrollment courses, and we work also with universities. Not finalized yet, so I don't have details, but we will add a new courses this year. If I may think so, we are very excited. As well, I wanted to tell you that we have 2 grade levels from the immersion, 2nd graders and 4th graders, so in 2 different buildings. We're going to present short plays, both of them based on mythology, but I'm sure it's going to be very cute and wonderful to see them sing and read with the costumes and everything. So I invite you for to be 27 and then to read the video. I started interviews. Actually, the first round of interviews was just finalized. And we have more applicants, so interviews will still, but just to let you know that we started 4 months ago and last week I had. The last one is the trip to Greece. The exchange program with the Pierce College, which is a school, I mean K-12 school. So the program is almost finalized. We have our 10 students selected. Our the families have been informed. They accepted. So hopefully this week we will be accepted, and we can then go meeting with the other students. For 5 days or 5 days. Okay. In April, so the days are end of April. More exact dates in the night. Any questions?
What grades are taking the Greek state test? Is it all grades or?
So it's only immersion.
It's only the
immersion. And as well, language immersion program, mm-hmm. And it's only the secondary. So we start with the 6th grade and all the way.
During the month, yeah, how did the grading go? You know, there's the levels of grades. I know they all passed, but was there a breakdown of Lian, Kaloa, Isao grades?
Yes. We would use them the. We don't mention that, but the have the data, but I can find it for you. So we have many Aisha, that's the highest. And then the next one was the Julian Carlos. As we go up, more has been better. We have more Lian Carlos, which is very good. and then excellent, but we have both. Excellently
excellent. How you, Elon Musk here is all compared to immersion and non-immersion. I have both, and that's great. Percentage-wise, and how they compare the two groups. If you have any data. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, just a rough number.
And we have better results the A1, so all our A1 immersion with the past exam was excellent. The non-immersion, we had excellent, and we had also very good. The other, so A2, it was excellent for immersion, not all excellent. So you see also that they
performed better. So both of them, they can perform, and immersion just gives, as more students, it gives more students as excel. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you said something else, you want to add more courses or a language or something else? Yes. Yes. You have, you know, going to have a theater, and I told you that in the past in Argentina, the theater, even the parents participate, they say, what subject you like? And parents, not only that, participate, say, I like this, okay, or this, so whatever, I want to say. You decide, okay. And that's not a so bad idea, because everybody there, this is something that is related to the Hellenic, and it's part of the core part of the psyche of this school. So just a suggestion, just a thought, because I saw that somewhere else that now they have no teachers in Argentina, even Nazis that passed away, the death. But still, they play in the high. So just a thought. Okay. That's great. Okay.
I think that would be interesting at a yes. high school level to have, yes. Well, let me finish, to have classical thought, mm-hmm. you know, or ancient civilization or courses pertaining to the history mm-hmm. of the world as it relates to their, you know, Greek education. That would be fantastic to have the kinds of courses that are unusual at the high school level for an innovative school like this.
It's a nice school, but we have already the Greek studies. Maybe it's not there yet. This course, they study Odyssey, and Antigone, some of the
literature. Right, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be careful with Aristophanes. Very careful.
Right.
Otherwise, they would stand for him.
I was thinking more along the lines of courses on philosophy and on ancient civilization. But yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Part of the plan. Also, bad is that as Delaware moves further away from educating its kids, historical context is because now there's a movement to remove world history from the curriculum. If we were following that in one, we're moving in the opposite direction of enhancing world history and re-adding ancient civilizations to the world curriculum. Because we shouldn't be making our students stay on the kids left for people to over and over again history. So, to your point, exactly what we're doing. We're doubling down on it, saying no, this is not the way.
You know, even the University of Delaware doesn't have a class study area.
But we're very aware we had a meeting.
Philosophy, yes, but which is unusual. No,
they used to have classical studies years ago. They just killed them. And anyway, your efforts. Some of us can help you.
This It goes very well. Students realize that they're very
big a subject, but really they appreciate from all this history, everything. And something else, we're here, many of us, there are many. Bill, I say to you, whatever you need. Okay? That's very simple.
All right. With all the women, we're also working with our team, we're bringing this up to with you on despite the fact that we have the NPI curriculum and we know that it's well vetted for the science of reading, we're doubling down and bringing back the concept of novel. It has to be novel reading. You don't get the same out of an excerpt of a novel as you do with taking the whole character arc and all of the plot, and all of the development of the themes from start to finish. There are some epic novels that simply cannot be, we cannot return, we cannot press them anymore. They need to come right back to the service. They need to be on in front of what we're doing. And they can't just be looking at non-fiction texts and small excerpts of things. This is not developing the critical mind at all. The science of reading is good for developing reading skills, but developing critical thinkers need something much better. So we're working on what that list of books is going to look like and how we interweave it. Don't be surprised if you hear that the Odyssey becomes a read for everybody. We won't put Odyssey in school.
We'd like to be surprised.
Or the Iliad, more diverse texts, but going back to the kinds of things that we know work for us as well, right? A lot of the British literature that has been removed, it's a shame. Right? Oh. Kids don't learn Frankenstein anymore. That's nonsense. Not in the curriculum.
Oh.
We're not in the standards anymore.
Yeah,
it's so watered down. So we need to double down on going back to doing the things that we know were the right things to do. So just develop principles. There's a lot to it. So the team is working on that.
Anecdotally, we're, my kids are reading novels. Get them out of this one. This is on, I think, book number 20 for this year. So to say it can't be done is. They're doing that.
I think the difference there too. I mean, my daughter is a big reader also, and she'll read through these books. But if she doesn't have, a teacher who's critically like going through this book with her, she's missing.
The themes can be made modern.
Oh, absolutely.
The context by which they were removed was because the argument was that the kids couldn't relate to it. It is our job as educators to make it relate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? To find the relevance and throw it aside and replace it with something that, quite frankly, is just not at the same level. In a nonfiction text, it doesn't lack any sort of depth, right? And then you're asking why the kids can't read comprehension. Well, what they read is right in front of them.
Right.
They're not going to think anything
exactly.
Ahead of them, but they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So we have to really set our priorities at a higher level and not succumb to the pressures of what. The public sector is telling us to be the case. We know it doesn't work. And part of the benefit that I've had, and I take time to say this because last week, as you know, I was in Florida. I saw kids from all backgrounds creating incredible novels. state that is the number one in the nation in literacy scores, and also is the most decentralized education system in the country. Most competitive. What I saw was all groups of all kids learning all kinds of things. I saw a special education school where kids that were on the autism spectrum were reciting Romeo and Juliet in character, three grade levels behind, supposedly. It can be done. It can be done. We have to do better. We'll carry the torch in the public sector over here. I was awakened, that's for sure. Doing more than what we're doing. The standard's a lot.
And Jackie, nice job with the movie tie-in for the summer, the blockbuster film, Odyssey. Nice job.
Nice.
Yeah. Because we haven't seen the Odyssey movie before. Nice that they're doing it again.
In June.
Yeah. Are you still online? Yeah. She's muted, but she's still there. Trying to find the mute button.
Hello.
Hello.
I am here. You were looking for me. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good evening. Let me share my screen. There we go. All right. So good evening. This is the finance report for January. Our revenues, I'm having trouble seeing this. Can't see it. Our revenues for so far, we were projected to receive $61,123,000. And so far, we've received $58,421,033. And that is 95.58% of the budget. So we're almost there. So this month we received $1.9 million in local funds. We received $158,000 in other revenue. That included $300 in our school funds, which included like Chromebook chargers, patches, Chromebook fees, insurance fees, things like that. Yep. Our athletics department received $3,637. Food service was $288. And transportation received $154,000, which is the total of that other local revenue. Aftercare, received $28,000. Cafeteria received $122,000. School activities was $5,800. Athletics received $5,481. Through fundraising activities, which includes some athletic fundraising, was $4,923. We received some tuition funding from the state, which was $24,000. And we received our Perkins grant, which was $3,700. Our expenditures, including the contingency, were budgeted at $53,722,000, and to date, we have spent $34,170,000, and $506,000 of that was encumbrances, which represents 64.55% of the budget. Last year at this time, we were at 64, so we're trending pretty close to where we were last year. Here is our web report. We did talk last month about our building maintenance and how we've had some HVAC issues. This month, we also included snow removal in there, which was a hefty expense for us. And then the other expense category, which is still high, and it's the same thing. It's just the institutional equipment, athletics, maintenance, custodial supplies. things like that. And that's what's trending over is our building and ground repair, the medical supplies for adding the 27 nurses office, and institutional and athletic equipment. So I am working on a new web report that is going to break it down just slightly a little bit different so that we can see more of like how much exactly we're spending in transportation, how much we're spending on just school, athletics, food services, so that we can have more of a breakdown in our expenditures to see where all of that is coming from. So I hope to have that rolled out next month and hope to share it with our finance committee before I roll it out and share it with the board. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Hi, Deborah. My question is on the expenditure side, number 5 says transportation, number 14 says transportation, number 15 says vehicle materials. So, you know, to me, that's all transportation. That's about what, $600,000 more or less of transportation expenditures. And if our transportation revenue was $154,000 in the month of January, I'm estimating that it's probably what, $1.5 million for the year in revenue from transportation for the school? $1.4 million, $1.5 million right in there. I'm just guessing. What is the difference between those transportation lines in expenditures? Why are they listed separately? I'm just curious. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I want to clean up that I'm working on for rolling out for next month so that we can have a better understanding of exactly what's under transportation, because there's fuel costs for the transportation. And I see that there's like 2 transportation lines on here. I will clean that up and get something that's easier to read so that we can see what athletics is, what transportation is, what is falling under like custodial and IT supplies and things like that. So it's a little more clear.
And I have another follow-up question just real quick. Just for clarification purposes, right? These categories under expenditures, for example, transportation, for example, food, beverage, the people who work there that have salaries and benefits, are their salaries and benefits in the number 1 budget line that says salaries and benefits, or are their salaries and benefits, ensconced in those transportation lines and food and beverage lines?
Salaries and benefits is across the board with all of our departments and all of our operations. So it does not break it down by like how much salaries it is for transportation, how much salaries is for teachers or anything.
So no drivers or vehicle maintenance people or cafeteria workers are in the salaries and benefits line?
No, they're all in there. It's not broken out separately within like transportation. So all of salaries is in one line. So all of our salaries together is budgeted at $38 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. And Deborah, I appreciate you taking the initiative and just redoing this report for next month and taking true ownership of it and no longer using Jeff's report and making it your own. So thank you.
Yeah, I have it started, and I want to, the next time we meet for our finance committee, I will share that so that we can kind of have the finance committee look it over as well to make sure that it's making sense, and then we'll roll it out for our for this meeting, our next board meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Need a motion to approve my report? Can you post it? Yeah, bro. Motion. All right. Costas? Any second?
Second.
Thank you, Joel. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed. Thank you very much. Never get that thing published, and look forward to next month's report looking a little different, a little bit more yours.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Okay. We'll go right into the committee report, and we'll skip the CBOC. We'll jump to the Finance Committee. We did not meet this month. As Deborah mentioned, we will meet next month, the Wednesday before the board meeting. We'll go over the web report, new format, make any adjustments, dig in a little deeper. So I'll send out a notice for that if anyone wants to join the group. Evan does CBOC. Did he give you anything on it? Probably not. Okay.
We did not meet today for CBOC.
Okay. Yeah. I figured with Evan traveling, he wouldn't. Governance Committee, we did not do anything on that. I will figure out how to address that before the next meeting, so that next meeting we can decide what we're going to do with the Governance Report Committee, because we need that. PTO, it was nice to get some PTO information. Thank you very much. Any new business? And we're going to move into executive session. But before we leave, next month's meeting will be March 18th. That's not in the middle of any school break or anything, is it?
No.
Okay. Because I don't have that on the calendar. Yeah. All right. So March 18th, 6 o'clock. We have a member who has failed to attend over two meetings. So according to the rules, they're no longer on the board. I'll check with the attorney to make sure that that's exactly how that works. That's how we read it. And if that's the case, then we'll open it up to the non-HEPA committee to produce someone else. And I did speak with the member, provided them the Zoom link and everything. So I need people who are interested in going to show up. So, all right. I need a motion to go to executive session at 7:30. There you go, Monica. Can I have a second? All right. All right. No discussion for a vote. Go to executive session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. Everybody else hanging online, there will not be any decision coming out of executive session. Information sharing regarding some, you know, executive stuff, but nothing's going to result in a decision when we come back from the executive session. So feel free to drop off, feel free to hang out. We're going to open up a special room.
In the breakout room.
Wonderful. Apparently, our board member was there. Let's get a message. So, okay. Great, this is not a room.
I don't know.
I will ask.
What the board member is.
Yes.
Your ends.
I'm actually here. I'm not sure why it's saying Zoom user and not my name, but if you can see my name lit up, you can add me to the executive session.
Unmuted. There we go.
All right, I hear us. Okay, so we're back from executive session. As I said, there'll be no, there's no motions as a result of it. No decisions were made. We don't do that in executive session anymore. I'd love a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Adjourn.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Calling for a vote. All those in favor? Any opposed? 9:03. Meeting closed. Thank you, people.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Quality time here in Odyssey. Can you